Sharia, welcome to Boss.
Hi, thank you so much, Allie. It's so good to be here with you. It's a real treat.
I feel like we've been talking about this for a few months now. We finally met in real life at Fortune's Most Powerful Next Gen, which was probably like a year ago.
Maybe almost 2 years. Gosh, it's been a while.
Well, first, what is Boss? Boss is my amazing executive interview series on LinkedIn that's now a podcast. And I interview my fabulous network to help everyone learn, network, and pay it forward, which is really important to me. But how did we meet? We obviously met in real life at Fortune, but a friend introduced us too.
Ross Martin introduced us, and Ross is the great introducer of all time. He was just on my podcast for the first episode. And then when I saw you at Fortune's Most Powerful Women, it was like, oh my God, let's be friends. And we hung out the whole time.
Yes, I love it. Well, let's start out with who is Sharia?
Oh my gosh, who is Sharia? Great question. I'm the founder of Grow There, which is a culture consulting firm, and we help organizations build their brands from the inside out, really looking at what is your culture ethos and what does it say about who you are? And more importantly, what does it say about who you are trying to be, where you're trying to go? And I'm really on a mission to connect culture and strategy and help organizations grow from here to there and teams grow from here to there. It's really fun work to deep dive into the value systems of these organizations and help them really step into who they're trying to be. Also, I am now recently the host of Grow There with Sharia, the podcast. And that is really about having conversations with people from all different industries and walks of life to talk about the growth that takes place at the intersection of work and life. I'm trying to change the conversation around work-life balance and think about it from a totally different perspective.
Tell me a little bit more about that. What did that career journey or path look like? Now that I know that you also could have been a professional singer.
My career journey is always such a tough one to go through. But yeah, so I actually was a singer. I started singing when I was 8 professionally. To this day, for 18 years, I sang professionally. That's still like the longest career I ever had, which is wild. But then I ended up in the nonprofit space and worked there for 16 years. I know everybody's like doing the math. How old am I? Because when you start working that young, there's overlap. I was a nonprofit first on the social services side of things, working with children and families affected by HIV and AIDS and sickle cell disease. And then I moved on to more of corporate and fundraising, working for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, which was such an honor. And as part of my job there, I ended up becoming the head of innovation for culture and strategy. And that was really a game changer for me. That's where I met Ross. He is still on the Digital Innovation and Advisory Council there. And one day he said, please come. I don't know how to explain what it is that you do to our folks here at Known, but I know we need it here. And so I ended up being their head of culture and really helped them build their ethos as they were just becoming known. He told me when he brought me over, he said, give me 2 years and I'll help you do whatever you want to do next. And at the time, he thought I'd want to go be a chief innovation officer somewhere. And it ended up being that I wanted to start this culture consulting firm. And here I am now doing this work. So my path has been anything but linear, but it's been a really beautiful journey.
Love that. And can you share one pivotal moment?
When I was doing my work at St. Jude, I absolutely loved it. And I loved my team. I loved that work. I mean, just innovation is my jam. But Ross also saw something in me. And we actually talk about this a little bit in the podcast. And he just saw a new opportunity for me. And honestly, I don't know that I ever would have left nonprofit. I don't know that I ever would have branched out if I didn't have someone kind of come into my life and deposit an idea that there might be something more for me. So I felt like that was such a pivotal moment. And I've talked about this a lot where when there's a leader in your life who you respect and they come into your world and they say, hey, I want to work with you. And also I want to invest in you, drop everything and follow them. If that's someone who you really deeply admire and respect. And so that was a pivotal moment in my career because it was a moment where I said yes to something that really scared me. I was terrified to leave nonprofit, terrified to like take this big risk, especially leaving something that I loved and felt really good and comfortable in. But it was the best decision of my life.
Switching gears, what key trends are shaping the larger industry?
I'm going to look at it through the culture lens. Atlantic just came out with an article that's titled something like "How White Collar Work is Really Just Meetings." And it's a critique, really, on the fact that all we're doing all day is just sitting in meetings and how much of a drain it is of all of our resources, time, energy. But at the same time, Inc. just wrote an article where they reported some data around 60% of people wanting to have more meetings specifically for connection, engagement, collaboration. And within the workplace, I am seeing this tension around how do we meet effectively and impactfully, but with meaning. This matters to me because in my world of culture work, I come in and facilitate these very intense meetings, so to speak. I don't even like using that word. I like to say workshops or facilitation experiences where every minute we spend together is intentional and is moving us somewhere. One of the trends I think I hope to see is that we start looking at the ways that we gather in the workplace more strategically, which sounds a little buzzwordy, but let's stop calling meetings meetings. Let's call them what they are. Let's say this is a retreat. This is a workshop that we're doing. This is the thing that's going to keep people feeling connected, energized, inspired if we really think about how we gather and create the right type of connection and synergy. Another buzzword that people hate.
It's so smart from my perspective. So many meetings could be an email.
Yeah. I think being really intentional is going to move the needle in a way that people don't necessarily realize right now.
So smart. Sharia, what's one question you wish more people would ask you about your
Oh my
work,
God.
your career?
Oh my gosh. I wish more people would ask me how I take care of myself. I think I'm always offering that. But I think that one of the most important things, certainly being an entrepreneur, but even before I was an entrepreneur, to be a creative, like I'm a creative, requires a ton of self-love. And I use that term specifically because it goes beyond self-care, which is maintenance, but it's true love for myself and really being able to take care of myself, mind, soul, and body so that I can do culture work, which holds a ton of space for people, for problems, right? Like I have to be able to go into any environment and feel all the feelings and hear all the challenges and be able to alchemize those things. And so I have to take care of myself. If I didn't take care of myself the way that I do, I couldn't show up and do the work that I do the way I do it.
How are you thinking about thought leadership on LinkedIn now to tell your story, your company story, what you're doing?
Oh my gosh. Well, first of all, I'm not sure I'm doing this well, but I'm doing it, which is half the battle, right? It's wild how intimidated people are and how much people say, like, I don't want to do the cringy LinkedIn thing. And I get where they're coming from. But I've had to conjure up my bravest self to be out there. And frankly, Allie, I want to give you a lot of credit for inspiring me to do this because I feel like you've been so brave in just putting yourself out there and saying the things and putting out content and like you're just being you out there. I really admire that. I think the way I think about it is I want to provide value, period. I don't want to take up space. I want to make space that's useful and helpful and inspiring. I really try to make sure that everything I'm putting out there, that if one person can benefit from it and use it, then I've done my job.
What do you read in the morning?
Marie Forleo has this whole thing about create before you consume. And so I actually try not to read. I journal in the morning.
What do you want to be known for over the next 6 to 12 months?
I think I want to be known for this podcast. It's introducing people to like some of the great people in my life to the world. And that's helping people feel inspiration around how they can grow at the intersection of work and life. And I want to be known for, like, she did it again. She helped.
Sharia, how can I help you pay it forward on something?
Oh my gosh. Well, one, I feel like you're doing it now just by inviting me to be on the podcast, but also just be my friend. Here's a plug for you. I think you are one of the most valuable. I mean, whatever. Everyone is valuable. I mean, your contacts are so robust. Who you know, everyone knows you, and you know everyone. And I think that you're such a value add to anyone who would ever choose to be in relationship with you, much less have the honor of employing you, because you're just such a value. So for me, I would just say, keep me in mind when you hear, like, hey, this person might be interested in some culture work. But other than that, just being your friend feels like you're helping me pay it forward.
Oh, every day, all day. Repeat after me. You're watching Boss with Ali Levitan.
You're watching Boss with Ali Levitan.
And then finally, anything else that you want to say or share with me to close out this amazing LinkedIn Boss and Now podcast interview?
I should have thought about this more, but what I think about in terms of the future of work is that I'm really hoping that work becomes more fun. But I really believe that as automation and AI comes in and really is integrated into the work that we do, it frees us up to be our most creative and innovative selves. And I want to just offer to you all that our brains would rather keep us safe than happy. So when we're having fun, it's really hard to notice it in the workplace. If you have a moment at work and you realize, I am having fun, I want to challenge you to say out loud to yourself, this is fun, because we need to remind ourselves that it's not all being in the trenches.
I love that. Sharia, this was so much fun. Everyone should be watching, sharing, commenting. Bye.